Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Welcome our visitors. We have quite a few things that was going on this weekend. We have Jack and Julie. Good to know that Julia. It's good to know that they're going to be soon married and their family's here. Celebrated a few birthday and some other things going on. Our deepest sympathy to John and Eleanor. Karen and I have been praying for y'all, and we know it's hard. Sermon I prepared for today, I wanted to do 4 years ago when my mom had passed away. So I hope this helps in our times when we lose a loved one and we think about the things that we've been blessed with. I've read several books on this, and I think the Bible really gets back to the things we need to think about as we grieve the loss of a loved one. Grief is the process of experiencing your reactions to your loss. Grief is personal and unique, and is determined by a few things. Their particular relationship with the person who died, their own characteristics of that person that passed away in their life history, the specific aspects of their loved one's death, the social situation surrounding them, and their physical state. I told y'all about my mom when she passed away. She had dementia really bad. I prayed for a couple years that God would take her quickly. And I waited and waited, and I didn't understand why she lasted so long, but after I thought about it for a few years, it taught me quite a few things. And so many people were blessed by my mother having that dementia. I know the persons at the nursing home really benefited from her. She brought joy to her life, and each day they were around her, and they're really fantastic people. There are emotions of grief, and we all go through different emotions. None of us go through the same emotions. It's different for everybody. And as we go through those emotions, there's no one size fits all. I remember a show I watched once, and the husband said to the wife, as she was going through the changes of life, "You've got 10 minutes to get over it." That's not how it works. Grief lasts for a while. And so as we go through these emotions of grief, there's something else that we go through also. You're dealing with more than one loss when a loved one passes away. With the death of your loved one, you experience so much more than merely one loss. The losses that go along with or develop as a consequence of your loved one's death are known as secondary losses. And I tend to agree with what this writer has written. Their secondary losses, they're not necessarily secondary in the terms of their importance to you, only in the terms of being dependent upon the death of your loved one. And so, in other words, the life that they lived, that you remember the things about them, that would be your secondary loss. So it could either be a physical, for instance, the loss of a house because you cannot afford to live in it anymore, or psychosocial. For example, the loss of a relationship. Part of mourning your loved one means identifying the mourning, the inevitable secondary losses that develop for you as a consequence of your loved one's death. The losses of the roles that your loved one specifically had with you. For instance, it may be your spouse and the things that your spouse did for you. It's going to be one of your secondary losses. Could be your best friend or your confidant or a co-worker, etc. The loss of meaning and satisfaction in the role you had in your loved one's life. If I lost Karen, the things that I did for Karen in my life, I would lose those. I would mourn that. the loss of hopes and dreams you had for with that person. We often lose those. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter is about suffering and glory. Suffering in this life. Maybe it's persecutions and things like that that Peter alludes to, but we often suffer the loss of a loved one. But the hope we have in our Lord Jesus Christ plays an important role in the losses of our loved ones. And for us. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again." There is a second birth for us. It is a spiritual birth that we have in Jesus Christ. And there is a hope that we have that comes with that. A hope that engulfs our lives. As we live our lives as Christians, that hope changes us. It not only changes us, but it should change the people around us. Because it is a hope that the world that doesn't believe in God cannot obtain. And that helps us with our griefs. So we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Losing our loved one, our spouse, our uncles, our friends, knowing that they were Christians, we have a hope. We have a hope that we will be with them one day. Born again in eternity. And that should comfort us in knowing that when we leave this life, there's a new start for us. And this suffering that we go through, that we watch our loved ones go through as they pass from us, we're assured that it's all done. So through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. For you are protected by the power of God through faith. We'll talk a little bit about faith. That the power of God should protect our faith. And some individuals will fall away because they don't understand why their loved one had passed away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Thessalonians were worried about those who had passed away before them. And it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you do not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope." That word there is to distress, passively to be sad, to cause grief, grieve, be in heaviness. The Thessalonians received this letter and says, don't grieve as the rest of the world that has no hope. Don't be in so much heaviness, because those who have died before us, we will meet them in the air. And we'll be with them once again. The writer of Hebrews says, Let's turn and read that. That's an important passage I want to go over. Hebrews chapter 2. This goes with the lesson that Matt had this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in Let's start in verse 10. For it was fitting for him, from whom are all things and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not to be ashamed to be called by them brethren. Drop down to verse 14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and make free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to the angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiations for the sins of the people. Our great high priest, Jesus, he came to this earth, and as we studied in our class this morning, he grieved. He did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to suffer. But he can be compassionate and merciful to us as we grieve the loss of a loved one. I wanted to talk to you about secondary losses and the importance of us as Christians, how we leave this world. I have a little solid glass object here. It looks like an egg shape. And it's got three birds inside there, and they're sitting on a bush. I don't know if you can see that. You watch the sci-fi movies where people are transported from one place to another place. This is kind of like one of those things. Not that I physically and transported from this place to another place. This is significant to me. My grandmother passed away back in 1991. I had grieved terribly. She meant a lot to me. Then my grandfather had passed away after that, and my mother had their things and asked if I'd like to come over and pick out some things to remember the two of them. I'd forgotten about this. So what this is when I was about 9 or 10, I'm not exactly sure, we were down their house, and I used to love going down there, growing up in a city with just buildings and things like that, and they lived near the woods. So I remember being down there, and we were out in the woods, and I'd found this. And man, it was like, wow, look at this. And I couldn't wait to get back to my grandma's house. And I gave her that. And she kept that, and I had forgotten. So when I picked this back up, those memories came back. And so I sit this on my desk at home. And do you know what I see when I look at this? I don't see a glass object with three birds in it. I see the memories of my grandmother. She was short. She was always happy. She was energetic, outgoing. She got her first vehicle when she was, I guess, in her 50s. She just didn't drive. And she used to call me, and we used to do things together. And I'll never forget, she called me one time. She said, Don, she said, please come down. You got to get down here quick. I was like, okay, Grandma, I'm with him. She said, she had a Pinto station wagon. Remember the steel galvanized trash cans? She backed over them coming out of the driveway. Forgot the trash was sitting in the driveway. So I had to get down there really quick and make sure the car was all right because Pop, she said because Pop, she called my grandfather Pop. Pop's going to be upset with me. So there was times like that. And I remember she was sweet as could be. She always did things with us. That's my secondary loss. And as I remember people in this congregation that passed away, what do you remember about those people? Adam Smeltzer. I grieved so hard. But man, do I have good memories. So many of us have lost loved ones. And the way we act in this life and the way we do things is going to leave something behind. And that ought to be good thoughts. I want to remember each and every one of you in that way. And I do. You all have done so many good things to other people in this congregation. You have supported. You have been there for them. You have loved. You have received love. That's a good congregation. Let's keep up the good work. I have a few things to go over, but I'm not going to read every story. In Matthew 26, 37 through 39, we talked about this in a class. Let's turn there and read this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. You see, our great high priest, he feels like we feel. He knows what we go through. He was very grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and watch with me." And he went a little beyond there and fell on his face. In Luke chapter 22, it says, he first fell to his knees. Then he fell on his face. And prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was sorrowful and deeply distressed. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." That means to be grieved all around, very intensely sad. We should have an intimate relationship with our Father. We can pray, as Jesus did, "Let this cup pass from me." It's okay to do that. I prayed for a couple years for the Lord to take my mom. Didn't understand the whys, but looking back, I think I know. Yet not as I will. This is the hard part for some of us, brethren. We have to accept, after praying to Jesus, what his will is. He who wishes his own will contrary to God will fail in our faith. We have to give grace to God. Let his will be done, because we don't always understand his will. In Psalms 3, verses 3 and 4, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. my glory, and the one who lifts my head up. When you're down, when you're troubled, when you're grieving, God is the one who can bring your head back up and get you through the tough times. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Look at Psalm 116. We'll just briefly make a couple points from this psalm. It's titled, Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. God had heard this person's former pleas, and he would save him from death. It says, the cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol come upon me. I found distress and sorrow. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. He has no other to help him but the Lord. And he prays earnestly to the Lord. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord, and righteousness, yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. God will do what has to be right in each situation. He hears our cries. He hears our pleas. I believe, verse 10, I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. Faith for this person was the foundation of his recovery, and he's now reaping the fruits of his prayers to God. We have to have faith when we pray to God in our times of trouble. Revelation chapter 14 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. He cares about us. We are precious in his sight. Our prayers don't go unheard. They're always answered. And as I said before, in sometimes ways that we don't understand. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Have you ever thought about that? While we love our people here, our loved ones, it's a blessing to pass and to be with God. Psalm 147:3, he heals up the brokenhearted and binds their wounds or their sorrows. Over time, you'll learn how to deal with your grief better. And Job, remember what Job went through. We won't read the text. One thing after the other. He lost this, he lost that in chapter 2. He has bulls all over his body. And what does his wife say to help him? Curse God and die. And Job's friends come along. And what do they do to help him? They accuse him of doing wrong. They saw his pain. They saw his grief was very great. It was suffering. It was physical or mental grief. It was grief, it was pain, it was sorrow. And Job said, oh, that my grief were fully weighed. We'll all grieve differently. And the intensity of that grief will be different for each one of us. In Isaiah chapter 53, when we read about Jesus in Isaiah, it says he was like a tender shoot growing up. And it talks about some past tense things that he went through before he went to the cross. He was a man of sorrow. And that means a man of anguish or affliction, grief, pain, or sorrow. He had anxiety, calamity, disease, or grief. He went through that things in his life. He experienced all the things we experience now. In 1 Peter, "For this finds favor, for if for the sake of conscience towards a person bears up under sorrows or grief when suffering unjustly, for this finds favor in God." If you bear with it when you're in sorrow, when you're in sadness, grief, it's distress, intensely sad, heaviness, pain, sorrow, suffering. It's a vexation. It's an anger. It's an indignation. It's anguish, affliction, anxiety, calamity, sadness, and heaviness. Grief is a persistent ache of the heart. In 2 Kings, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon. And then died. Remember Elijah, the Shunammite woman? She fed him. She made a place in her home for him. And Elijah went through there. And Elijah had asked her what her request would be. And she wanted a son. And she said to Elijah, and Elijah said to her, "About this time next year, you will have a son." And she said, "Please don't lie to me." And she had a son. But then that son died. And in 2 Kings 27, when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is deeply troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Elijah sends Gehazi with a staff to lay on that child to bring him back to life. But it didn't work. And the Shunammite woman said, "I will not leave God or you, Elijah, and go away." She put her faith in God. And Elijah restored that young man back to life. Sometimes our prayers are answered, and sometimes they are not. Acute grief. It's a feeling of loss, and they don't go away. Loss is the absence of something we were once attached to. I'm so attached to my wife. There's times when she's gone. The other day, I ate at McDonald's. I just run into McDonald's. My wife wasn't there to have dinner with me. We always eat together. And it was a lonely feeling. And I sat there at McDonald's and eating my meal, and there were people around me. But it was a lonely feeling that I didn't have her with me. Grief is the rope burns left behind. When that which we held is pulled beyond our grasp, it hurts. Have you ever held onto a rope and it was pulled from your hands? It hurts greatly. That's what grief is likened to. Something that's pulled away from you, and it hurts so bad, and that hurt is there for a great while. It may be accompanied by feelings of guilt, and anxiety, and doubt. The guilt comes in our thoughts often as someone dies. "I wish I would have done this, and talked to him about this, or I wish I would have done that for him." And sometimes that guilt overwhelms us, that we weren't there for that person. Anxiety. And doubt also accompanied that. The death of Sarah. Sarah died, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. It's okay to do this. It's a part of grieving. The death of Stephen. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, mourning by beating their breasts. Grief is not a one-size-fits-all, and there's no expiration date on grief. I still look back to my mother 4 years ago, my grandmother, back in 1991. I look back on the secondary things, but there's still grief there at the loss. It still hurts at times. In Psalms 147:3, we read this already. He heals up the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds or their sorrows. And there's a purpose for grief, brother, that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Talks a lot about comfort in that, those couple of verses as you read through that. We go through things, and after we go through our grief and we're weighed down and we watch someone else lose a loved one, we can be there for them, even if it's just to sit with them and not say nothing. Because oftentimes we may say the wrong thing, just to show them that we love them and we're willing to be there for them. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 through 23, I want us to think about these verses. We won't read the whole story. David has lost his child. And then in verse 21, some people didn't understand why. They wanted to know why. And he gives them the reason why. Then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you rose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows? Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, and that child may live." God is gracious, even when our prayers aren't answered the way we want them answered. But David fasted and wept while the child was alive. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Brethren, that is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. When one of my loved ones passes away, I can go to them. I have to keep myself unspotted. I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. And while we go through these things, we must remain unspotted and ready to be with the Lord. It's hard at times, I know. I've grieved, I've suffered through things. You have. People who experience loss need to understand that grief and it is an expression of love. We grieve because we love. The magnitude of our grief is in direct correlation with the depth of love we feel for the deceased. It's okay. You can weep, men. You can weep. Nothing wrong with men weeping over the loss of a loved one. Lessons from David's grief. There's an emotional response. A serious time of reflection. When we lose a loved one, we reflect. There's times to reflect on things. not only on their lives, but on our life. People who have lost a loved one want to talk about the one who was dead. I wanted to talk about my grandmother and my mom. It helps me. And I know you have lost loved ones. It helps to talk about them, to remember them. People who are coping with death are still in a relationship with that person. You ever think about that? I still have a relationship with my mom. It's amazing how God created us. I think it was Jonathan who said this maybe a month or 2 months ago. We're not physical bodies with a spirit. We're a spirit with physical bodies. And I think that's so true. There's a spirit inside us that's going to leave this physical body. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. We can read that and read that over and over. And when that time approaches for each one of us, sometimes we don't deal with that too good. But there's going to be a time. As I get older, and I'm watching my friends pass away, my family, I know it's knocking at the door for me. And I accept that. And I want to leave my loved ones things that they can remember about me that are good. Don't you want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to do that as a people of God? That's the sermon for this morning. If you're here today, if you don't have the hope of eternity, if you're not a Christian, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on eternal life. If you're here and you've been having trouble in your life, you want the prayers of the saints here. If you just need to talk to somebody about things, we're here for you. You can come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation.